chapter 5, and let me start with verse number 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I want to ask you, how many in this auditorium have been healed? At some time in your life, you have been healed. I dare say if I were to open the service up for testimonies, there would be many testimonies of healing. And some of them would be outstanding. But I am wondering if we can really trust the Lord for our healing, in which we Pentecostals argue that you can. Let me share with you an incident that happened. And don't take anything I'm saying out of context now. We were in Wichita Falls with Brother Jack Dahl in a meeting. And we have visiting in the service this night a lady. She and her husband are pastoring one of our AG churches. And she has been diagnosed as having cancer. She has had surgery. And she's taken treatments after surgery. But the doctors gave her no hope, none whatsoever. And Jack Dahl asked this lady to stand and share with that congregation the latest diagnosis. And this lady, and I quote her verbatim, and this is the latest diagnosis. The doctors told her that she had less than 6 months left to live, because the radiation treatments weren't doing any good. Instead of getting better, she's getting worse. And through tears, she said, "But I am not going to accept the doctor's diagnosis. I am trusting the Lord for my healing." Isn't that a typical Pentecostal for you? But I know of many precious saints that were trusting the Lord for their healing, and they weren't healed. I can name some. So can you. We lost my wife's dad about 3 years ago. He had suffered with cancer for some 18 months before we lost him. There has never been a finer man of God that's ever lived than my father-in-law. His whole family committed to the church and to God. We prayed, we fasted, we believed God. But we lost him. We lost my sister in March, 51 years old. She too died with cancer after some 18 months of sickness. She and her husband had pastored one of our churches. And I know my sister as well as I know anyone. If anybody loved God, she loved God. Such a committed, dedicated saint. Again, we prayed, we fasted. We did everything we could to believe God for her healing, but we lost her. Now, I'm not sharing that with you to make you feel sorry for me. I'm just stating a fact. And if I ask you to share with me some precious saint that you have known in the past that has trusted the Lord in their sickness, but they were not healed, every one of you could give the same testimony. But every coin has two sides. If you don't believe that, just pull one out of your pocket. While I know of those that have trusted the Lord for the healing and have not been healed, at the same time, I know of many that have been healed. You folk raised your hand to that just a few moments ago. I remember a young 12-year-old boy in Russellville, Arkansas. This boy had had polio when he was 5 years old, and it affected his right side and right leg. Fact is, his right leg was no larger than my arm. And here he is, almost 13 years of age. And it lacks 5 inches being the same length of the other leg. He wore a brace up his leg, round about his waist, and that attached to a shoe with a 5-inch sole on it. He maneuvered his body in a swinging type motion. And he came in the prayer line this Friday night. Tommy Parker and I, along with others, prayed for that boy. He went back into the men's restroom. He took that brace off, that shoe off. He came back into that auditorium in his stocking feet, both legs the same size, both legs the same length. The next day, Saturday morning, they took that boy to a shoe store and they bought him a pair of shoes, both shoes the same size, because both feet were now the same size. So I know of many that have been healed, and so do you. Now, am I going to base my faith on a testimony? Am I going to argue? I know of folk that have been healed, and based on that, I'm going to trust the Lord for my healing. Or am I going to listen to a negative testimony and permit my faith to be destroyed as a result of it? See, most of us are up and down in our faith because we attach that faith to the testimony of a man. And the Bible said, let every man be a liar, but let God be true. Now, I'm going to ask you again. Can we as saints trust the Lord for our healing? Now, why would you say that? Knowing what you know. I'm going to tell you why. You and I can trust the Lord for our healing. Number one, healing has been provided in the atonement. Irregardless of what someone's testimony may be, it doesn't add to the atonement, nor does it take away from the atonement. See, in the fall of man, he lost everything that he had been blessed with. But when Jesus came, he came to give back to man that he had lost. See, if it had not have been for the atonement, I will still be in my sins. But thank God for the blood. See, Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, you're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation as your traditions of your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb slain without spot and without blemish. Can you say thank God for the blood? See, if it had not have been for that, the shed blood of Jesus, I would still be lost tonight. But I have found redemption through that blood. What I couldn't do for myself, the blood did for me. That's why Paul said in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. But just because the Lord has provided for me redemption through the blood does not mean that the atonement is complete in just the shed blood. I have to look at the back that was beaten with many, many stripes. Because when I look at that beaten back, then I ask why. What is the purpose of the back being beaten? And then I read Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes ye are healed. See, there has to be a purpose in all things. And there was a reason for God permitting his son Jesus to be beaten with many stripes. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:24, he him himself bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead in the sin might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Notice the difference between 1 Peter 2:24 and Isaiah 53:5. Isaiah is looking forward to the cross, and he states, by whose stripes ye are healed. But Peter is standing this side of the cross, and in looking back, he says, by whose stripes ye were healed. When we as saints can believe that, then I promise you it makes a difference. I remember a young lady some years ago, 23 years of age, who had TB. And she had suffered death for years and years and had become weaker and weaker with each passing day. And she had spent the last several months in a TB hospital taking treatments. And finally the doctors told the parents that there was nothing else they could do for them. It would be best that they permit the girl to return home, spend the last few days with the family. Now, these are AG folk. These are some of her own kind. And one day, this young lady, laying in her bed, flat of her back, reading her New Testament, happened to read 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bare our sins in his body on the tree. Why? So that I might be redeemed. And she rejoiced because of that. She knew she had been redeemed as a result of what Christ had done at Calvary. After rejoicing over that great hope, she read the latter part of that same verse. I cannot disattach one from the other. I mean, they walk hand in hand through the pages of God's Bible. Psalmist says in Psalms 103:1-3, blessed Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his many benefits, who forgiveth all of thine iniquity and healeth all of thy diseases. I mean, there they are, interlocked, one with the other, who forgiveth all of thine iniquity, who healeth all of thy diseases. When that young lady read that in 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes ye were healed, she stopped to reason for a while. If the first part is true, then most certainly the latter part must be true also. I'm saved because of the atoning work at Calvary almost 2,000 years ago. And Peter said, by whose stripes ye were healed. It is already provided for me in the atonement. She called her mother into the bedroom and shared with her and said, Mom, get my clothes. I'm going to get up and dress. And the mother said, no, if you move, you will begin to hemorrhage and death will come very quickly. But she could not discourage that young girl. because she had read it in the Word of God. And finally that mother gave in, helped that girl dress, helped her into the living room where she sat down in a big chair. Now, healing didn't come in a moment's time. Healing didn't come in an hour's time. But strength began to add to itself day by day. And in 3 weeks' time, she had gained back all of her strength. Not all of her weight, but I mean she was well on the road to recovery merely because she believed in what God had wrought in the atonement. Not only can we trust Christ for healing because it is in the atonement, but we can trust Christ for healing because it is promised to us in the Word of God. Have you read in Matthew chapter 15 of the lady that came to Jesus and asked him to heal her daughter? And he answered her not a word. So she goes to the disciples and she asks them. And they don't know how to handle this request because she's so persistent. And finally, they go to Jesus and they tell him, this lady is about to drive us up the wall. She just keeps asking us, if we would heal her daughter, would you please send her away? And that's when she came back to Jesus and she requested again the second time, heal my daughter. And Jesus said, it's not me to take the children's bread. What is the children's bread? What is the children's bread? It isn't me to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. She being a Gentile. And she said, well, I know that's true. It isn't proper to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. But the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall on the floor. Now, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 17 and 18, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall speak with new tongues. That is, you shall be filled with the Holy Spirit. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick. And they, what? That's in the Word of God. St. John chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word, talking about this word I hold in my hand, if my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. St. John chapter 14, verse 12 through verse 14, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, anyone know what the words verily, verily means? You're going to say, truly, truly, I knew you would. I expected everyone to say truly, truly. But what does truly, truly mean? You're going to say, verily, verily. I have never gotten out of the batter's box. I'm still hung up on verily, verily. Surely, surely. I was reading in Dr. W. Vine's Bible Dictionary some years ago. And he said the words verily, verily means listen close. I'm going to share with you a truth that cannot be altered, changed, or broken. Now read St. John chapter 14, verse 12 and 13 and 14. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that believeth on me, and these things that I do shall he do also, and greater things than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. If you ask anything in my name, I'm about to have a spell and I can't help it. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I heard one preacher say there are 33,000 promises in this book. I don't know. Heard another preacher say there were 32,000. I don't know that either. But whether it be 32 or 33,000, what difference does it make? Give or take 1,000. Man, there's enough to cover every need that I have when God brought Israel out of Egypt. In Exodus 15, 26, he made a covenant with them. He gave them this promise, and that is, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. Yes. 40 years later, when they moved into Canaan, the psalmist said there wasn't a feeble one among them. They believed the covenant that God had made with them. And the Bible says in Psalms 86 that God will hasten to perform his word, or to keep his covenant with the church. Now, James chapter 5 and verse 14 asks, is any sick among you? Anyone sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. I love verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. January of 1981, 6 p.m. in the evening, our daughter gave birth to a little girl. The little girl had 5 major birth defects. Number 1, there were no soft spots in the head for the head to grow and the brain to develop. Now keep that in mind. There are 8 of them in all, but she had none. There was 1 inch of bone missing in the lower part of the jaw on the left side. Now that meant she didn't have a gum. And if she lived, she couldn't have teeth on this side. Number 3, there were no muscles in the left side of this neck. And there was a sore as large as a silver dollar, where the head lay flat with the shoulder and no fluid is circulated in that area. And this open sore had begun the process of growing to the shoulder. There was no palate in the mouth. When our daughter fed her, she had to feed her sitting up, because if she tilted her back, the milk would run out her nostrils. Number 5, there were no hip joints. Her hips were as flat as my hands are right now. Plus, she was a Down syndrome child. Bad case. I was in Shreveport, Louisiana, when she was born. My wife had left and had gotten to Lubbock, to Methodist Hospital, that evening about 8 o'clock. Now, after her birth, the doctors encouraged our son-in-law not to share with our daughter the problems the baby had. The doctor wanted to keep it a secret and keep the child and just pretend that maybe the child has died or it was stillborn. When my wife arrived in Lubbock that evening and she discovered the problems, she encouraged our son-in-law, tell Eva, let her know, don't keep any secrets from her. So he walks into the room, he holds her hand, and through tears he shares with her the problems the child has, not knowing the effect that it would have upon our daughter. Now, being a man, I will admit that I don't fully understand this. Our daughter blamed herself for the problems. She never slept a wink all night that Tuesday night. The next morning, Wednesday morning, my wife called me in Shreveport and said, Charles, would you please call Eva and try to talk to her? So I called her about 8 o'clock that morning, tried to talk to her, but all she would say to me was, Daddy, you don't understand. It's my problem. I'm at fault. I go to the church. I stretch myself out between the altar and the platform. I lay there until noon that day. And at 12 o'clock, I called her the second time. The same thing. I go back to the church and I stretch myself out again between the altar and the pulpit. And about 4 o'clock that evening, the Holy Spirit seemed to speak to my heart. Charles, call Eva and tell her you're disappointed. Tell her that I am disappointed in her. Now I asked, why would you be disappointed in my daughter? Knowing the commitment that she's made to you and the life she has lived. Just because a person lives right doesn't mean that they are exempt from problems. As long as you're alive, there's going to be problems, whether you're saved or unsaved. So, the Lord spoke to me again the second time, saying, there are thousands of childless couples that I could have given that child to. And they wouldn't have acted like she's acting. I'm disappointed in her. That was the most difficult phone call I've ever made in my life. And when I shared with my daughter, here's what she said. She dried her tears. She snubbed two or three times and she said, Daddy, if that's the way the Lord feels, then let's believe God for a miracle. And I said, if you're prepared to believe God for a miracle, then we will believe God for a miracle. Now, I said that not knowing the full extent of the problems. I closed the meeting that Wednesday night in Shreveport. I drove to Dallas. After church that night, I caught a plane and flew to Lubbock. They picked me up, took me to the hospital. And as I said, I wasn't prepared for what I saw. It didn't look like a human being. It looked like just a mass of flesh. And when our kids walked out of the hospital, they were carrying that girl in their arms, wrapped in a blanket. And the doctors encouraging them, leave her. Go home. Forget about her. She cannot live. 6 months at the one year at the longest, maybe less than 6 months. Let her become a ward of the state. Let us become responsible for her. You go home. Let be blessed with another child, but forget this one. But our kids said, no, we're going to take her home. Now, that wasn't the end of it. Because these doctors would not leave our kids alone. Neither would they leave that child alone. Because they wanted to find out what caused these problems. And since our kids had decided to keep the child as long as they could, then they were going to help do the best they could to sustain life. So, they decide the best thing to do. And the first thing to do would be remove some muscles from a certain area of the body, place them in the neck so she can hold her little head straight. Because as of now, it's still laying flat with the left shoulder. But when they put her in the hospital and they prepared her for surgery, they took one last x-ray so they could determine exactly where those muscles need to be placed. And when they did, guess what? Something showed up on the x-ray screen that had never shown up before. There are muscles there! Come on. She holds her head as straight as I hold mine. The next operation they decide to perform is they're going to remove part of the skull, opening the skull up, so that the brain can develop and the head can grow. Three times they shaved that little head, got it ready for surgery. And they would take one last measurement to determine where they were at. And every time, all three times, the head grew from 1/4 to 1/2 inch. Hey, they've never performed surgery on that little head. They don't know how the brain developed and the head grew. They don't understand that. But it happened. Well, the inch of bone that's missing in the lower part of the jaw, they said she could never have teeth because of that bone that's missing. But one day, some 10 weeks after birth, the little girl's crying, and they're trying to determine what it is. They hadn't noticed that the mouth had filled out overnight. They didn't notice the bone that was there. But when they examined her, guess what? There was a gum, plus a little bitty tooth sticking up right in the middle of that gum. Now, most kids, being normal kids, cut their first tooth right here in front. Not her. She's abnormal like me. She cut the tooth in the area where they said she can't have teeth. Well, I wish I could pinpoint the day and the time, maybe even the hour that it happened. I wish it would have been a spontaneous miracle, but it didn't happen that way. They just came over a period of time. They have it on record in Amarillo, Texas. And I was there this past week, that this is the only child they have on record that has ever grown a full palate in the mouth after birth. Hallelujah. But she grew one.
Now,
praise God. Thank you. Now the hips. She's walking, running, playing, doing it all. And the doctors cannot understand that. Their argument is she cannot walk. She cannot move her legs because she doesn't have any hip joints. I mean, there's no ball there, and there's no socket to house it. And when she was 2 years old, they sent her to a specialist in Dallas, Texas, because they had to find out what her problem was. So when our kids showed up at the doctor's office in Dallas, Texas, and they're ushered into a little room to wait for the doctor to enter, when he finally came in, introduced himself to the kids, the little girl is in the floor playing with blocks. And he said to the kids, I'd like to see the little girl now. And they said, well, doctor, that's her right there. And the doctor said, no. And he produced a big stack of records, medical records. And he said, I want the child that these records belong to. I mean, it's that thick. And they said, that's her. He couldn't believe his eyes. He picked her up. He set her on the desk, and our table rather, and he just felt of her body in different places and looked in her eyes and her nose and her mouth. And he said, have the doctors been giving you problems with this girl? Our daughter said, yes, they won't leave us alone. They're making appointments every week to examine her for something else. He said, you go home. You tell them to leave her alone because there's nothing wrong with her.
Hallelujah. Come on. Amen.
Now, she has gone through 3 chromosome tests because they're trying to determine what happened to the mental retardation. They've tried to determine what caused the Down syndrome and where it is at. Fact is, she just took a series of tests about a year ago in Tulsa because the specialist in Lubbock contacted this doctor knowing that they had moved there and said, you find out for us something. And so I went with them to one of these tests, and the doctor in Tulsa, he And I was there when he said this. He said, I don't understand this. I mean, I don't have an answer to this. She has one chromosome too many. But yet, she's normal. And how she can be normal with one chromosome too many, I don't know. But he said, after all of the tests I've run, you just take her back home, let her go ahead and go to school and forget about it. Hallelujah. See, I have to believe that if the Holy Spirit had not have spoken to me in Shreveport, Louisiana, and I shared with my daughter, and she said to me, Daddy, let's believe God for a miracle, we would not have had this miracle. Fact is, the little girl tells us, I am your miracle. And when she comes to my meeting, she's constantly wanting me, Grandpa, share my miracle. But you know, there is another miracle that I have to share with you. Now, the doctors and the hospitals, they weren't treating her free. No, and our kids had no insurance. They were not treating her free of charge. They were charging. They were making the appointments. They were trying to determine what had caused the problems. And so, our daughter and son-in-law had gotten these bills, just a little better than $40,000, and they couldn't pay those bills. So, our daughter picked those bills up, walked into the living room about 11 o'clock on a Wednesday morning. She laid them in the floor, and she laid down beside those bills, and she's crying, saying, God, I don't know how we can pay these bills. We're going to go bankrupt. There's no way we can handle this. Would you please give us a miracle? Just give us one more miracle. And while she's praying, there's a knock at the door. She got up, she went to the door, and she's wiping the tears. And here stands a lady and asks my daughter, are you Mrs. Coleman? And our daughter said, yes, I am. She said, well, I'm from the March of Dimes, and somebody just told me that you had a lot of medical bills you couldn't pay. Is that right? And our daughter said, yeah, I've got a bunch of them. She said, well, don't tell me how much they are. It don't matter. You just get them and give them to me. And our daughter walked back to the bills that were laying in the floor, picked them up, brought them all to that lady. And that lady left. My daughter doesn't even know her name. She left with those bills, and from then till now, she's never received another bill on that little girl. Now, isn't that a miracle? I have to believe that was an angel of the Lord that came by to just give her one more miracle. See, if you don't need a miracle, don't expect one because you won't receive one. But if you need a miracle tonight, I said, if you need a miracle tonight, you can have it. It's yours. It is yours. It's the children's bread. I want the musician to come back to the piano, the organ for me, because we're going to have a prayer line. We're going to pray for the sick. We're going to believe God for miracles tonight. I said, we're going to believe God just for you. Hallelujah. Brother Gillum, would you come and get the bottle of anointing oil? Stand behind the pulpit for just a moment. If you're here and you're sick in body, and you need a miracle. You need a miracle. I want you to stand up right now. Will you do it? Stand to your feet right now. Because we're going to believe God just for you. Isn't this beautiful? All right. I want you that are standing to come and face me. Stand single file now, please. Face me because we don't want to miss anybody. I want you to just come and stand from that end of the altar to the other end of the altar. Will you do it? Come and face me right now. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's the way. That's the way. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on up here. Amen. Come right here. No, over here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Over here, folk. Come and stand up here, please. Amen. What do you need from the Lord?
your hip. Well, the Lord can heal that old hip.
I know it.
What do you need from the Lord? Eyes, side, and colon, and heart. You just need an overhaul tonight. Oh, hallelujah. You just need an overhaul. What do you need from the Lord? Come on up close here.
My heart and my foot.
Your heart and your foot. Amen. Come on up a little closer, because we want everybody to have room to help us. What do you need from the Lord?
An overhaul.
Well, the Lord's overhauling business, I can promise you that. What do you need from the Lord?
I need my eyes, ears, and ears.
Bad kidneys. Your what now?
Eyes.
Eyes and your ears. Amen. What do you
need? I have Parkinson's and diabetes.
Is that right? Well, yes. Jesus is going to give you a miracle tonight. Hallelujah. Dad, what do you need from the Lord?
Well, I've had problems that have been here all my life. I have other problems. The Lord just knows.
Yes. What do you need, John? I love you.
My right leg is about 3 inches shorter than my left.
His right leg is about 3 inches shorter than his left leg. Amen. The Lord can take care of that thing. And it's probably giving you a lot of back problems too, hasn't it? Amen. What do you need from the Lord? What do you need from the Lord?
I don't need anything. I work at it.
Amen.
And amen. We like him. We read the Bible always. And I feel like, well, we need to really get together.
Amen.
And really get together and feel better about it.
We're going to believe God for you. What does he need? Teeth, jaws, and ribs. Right now, the Lord's going to do that. What do you need? Your little girl broke out with a rash and you're having headaches. All right. Brother Gillum, here's what I want you to do now, please. I want you to just walk among the people and anoint every one of them with oil. Just a moment here. Asthma real bad right now. Brother Gillum, just anoint everybody. I want everyone else to stand with me, will you? Sister Gillum, sing one verse, of course, will you? Now what we're going to do is do exactly what we are instructed to do in the Word of God. And in our doing this, God's going to minister to us tonight, giving us miracles. Is any among you sick? Anybody sick? You folk have said to me, by your coming, I'm sick. I need a healing. So, we the church body, we the believers, are going to believe God with you. That's what he says. We're going to pray over you, anointing you with oil. Brother Gillum has already anointed everybody with oil. And he done that in the name of the Lord. Now, the prayer of faith is going to save the sick. And the Lord is going to raise him up right now. I'm expecting some testimonies of healing. But I want the deacons to come and stand with me on the front here. The deacons, come and stand with me up here. Will you do that? This side, along with Brother Gillum, here at the communion table. Now, while they are coming, we are going to walk among the people. Men, now listen to me. We're going to walk among the people. And we're going to just pray for them. Just pray for them and pray for them and pray for them and believe God with them. Now, I want every saint, every Christian here that's going to believe God with me to come and gather in behind them, because I want you to join us right now. I want you to join me right now. I want you to lay hands on them and I want you to pray with me. We're going to believe God. All right, church board, Brother Gillum, myself, Come on, let's move in among them and let's start praying for them. Just pick out anybody and start praying and move on. And then I want the church body to lay your hands on them right now and pray for them. Will you do it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, right now, I lay hands on this precious lady and I bind these old headaches. I command in Jesus' name that they leave and that she be healed from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. It is done right now in the name of the Lord. Jesus, I lay hands on my sister right now. Lord, she's reaching out to you for this problem she has with these teeth, these gums, these ribs. Heal her right now from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, I pray that you lengthen this leg. Lengthen it in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, John, it is done right now. Jesus, right now, I lay hands on my brother. Heal him from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet right now. Be healed in Jesus' name. Lord, these diabetes, I'm asking you to heal her right now from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. This Parkinson's disease, I command her to go in Jesus' name. And that she be healed right now in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name right now, I lay hands on my brother. Heal him from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Lord, we reach out by faith. We touch you right now. Heal my sister in the name of the Lord. Well, there it is. Hallelujah. 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 Receive from the Lord right now. Glory to God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, la 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 la